Blog Talk Radio.
You're very welcome to the Andrew Shatkis Show. And this show, I have to tell you, is not a politically correct show. And I'm not going to give you my background today, although I've written books and I run radio shows, and my thrust is a Christian position, but I welcome all people on the show. And today, I'm going to talk about the Christian worldview and poverty. Now, some people may take the position, there are those who take, I think, the mistaken position that Jesus endorses poverty. He did identify with the underclass in his society, in his life. For example, in Matthew 5:3, he makes a statement, the poor in spirit are blessed. Poor in spirit meaning humble. In Matthew 24, he gives a parable called the Marriage of Pharisee, a marriage feast, and sends his servants to call those who were invited, and these persons would not come, and he sends other servants, telling them the dinner is telling them the dinner is ready. And the persons who were invited make light of the situations and seize the servants and kill them. And he ultimately instructs his servants to go into the streets and gather all they can find, bad and good. So there seems to be an emphasis here that Jesus in Christ is no respecter of persons. He will take even persons off the street who will be invited, and when the people who were invited do not come. As I said, Luke, Jesus says the poor are blessed. And in fact, in Mark, he says the poor are blessed. And he's in Luke 6:20. And he says, makes other statements that a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. This type of thing. So there seems to be that Jesus doesn't seem to want us to emphasize. So, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't seem to be the case that Jesus wants to emphasize material goods. You have to say that Jesus himself took on poverty and coming from heaven. He became a human being. And there seems to be emphasis in Jesus' words in life to sort of have a respect for the poor and underclass. And in fact, the people who followed him were sinners, namely poor, prostitutes, criminals, this type of thing. And he mentions a lot of positive aspects about poverty and the poor. For example, in Luke 16:19-21, there's the parable of the rich man, in which Lazarus pays no attention to the suffering poor man at his door. And when the poor man dies, he's in heaven, whereas the rich man is in hell. We're told that when the rich man requests Lazarus be sent to cool him with some water, Abraham says that in the rich man's lifetime, he received good things and Lazarus received evil things. And now the poor man is in comfort and the rich man in anguish. And the lesson in the parable of rich man and Lazarus is when we do not pay attention to the poor, there's a danger we will be condemned and miss out on the eternal joy in heaven. So it seems like Jesus has a concern and identification with before. For example, in Mark 2:15, Jesus is criticized for eating with tax collectors and sinners. Again, there's a positive statement here that Jesus had a positive relationship with the underclass. And in Mark 10:17, there's the story of the young man who asked Jesus what he must do to eternal life. And in the end, the young man is specifically told that even though he has obeyed the commandments, he lacks one thing. And he is told to sell all his possessions and give to the poor and follow him. And he cannot give up his possessions. As I say, all these stories, all these events, all these statements of Jesus seems to identify and have a concern with the poor and with the humble. As I said in Mark 2:15, Jesus is criticized for eating with tax collectors and sinners. And in Mark 10:17, there's the story of the young man who asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. And the young man is told that even though he has obeyed all the commandments, he lacks one thing and is told to sell all his possessions and give to the poor. Again, we are told here, in some sense, that poverty is a positive quality or attribute in this sense, that our riches and possessions may impede our commitment to God and Christ. I think this incident of the young man giving up his possessions can be interpreted as being we would hold or holding on to anything that impedes our relationship to Christ. So I've given you some examples, a number of examples of Jesus being criticized for tax collectors and sinners, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man is in anguish because of his inattention to the poor man in his life, and the statement to the young man that he has to sell all his goods and follow him, and he can't do that. We seem to be told that poverty is a positive attribute in the sense that our riches and possessions can impede our commitment to God and Christ. And these particular passages I have chosen are illustrative of Jesus' particular concern and relationship to the poor and underclass. And even Jesus himself was a working man, a carpenter. And in his 3 years of ministry in the Gospels, there's no indication that he had any material goods or possessions. And it's quite clear that the disciples were tradesmen in following him and didn't have any possessions or bring anything with them, nor is there any indication of their having wealth or possessions. So Jesus himself was a carpenter, a tradesman, and had little or no possessions or money, and the disciples in following him were fishermen and a tax collector, a hated tax collector of the Roman government, who didn't bring any of their possessions with them, nor is there any indication they're having wealth or possessions. It is quite clear, I think, in reading the four Gospels, that Jesus mostly associated with the poorer classes of society, and in fact, he not only attracted their attention, but they seemed to follow him. On the other hand, the most important religious leaders or government officials or the wealthier people apparently opposed him to a certain extent, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and didn't have much to do with him. And they even gave opposition to Jesus. So it seems like he didn't hone in on the rich. They didn't follow him, nor did the governmental leaders or religious leaders, but he seemed to mostly associate and have as followers the poorer underclass people. And in fact, he not only attracted their attention, but they seemed to follow him. And on the other hand, the most important individuals, religious leaders or government officials, or the wealthier classes, only, mostly, either opposed him or didn't have much to do with him. And of course, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were in great opposition to Jesus. I have to end this essay with a general statement, this talk, that Christian religion is not an elitist, racist, sexist, or economically based religion. It is not a religious system which is racial. We don't believe in racial demarcations, which has to do with money or goods. We are not elitist, nor is it economically based on wealth. There are times when the rich may have contained control of the church, but in general, the church has taken the position of the denial of class, economic, racial, and sexual distinctions. Perhaps to understand fully the connection of the church and Christ to the poor and poverty, you could look at St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he says in Philippians 2 that Jesus himself took on poverty. And St. Paul states that Jesus was in the form of God, but did not count equality with God, but took the form of a servant, being in human form. So we're told to St. Paul that Jesus humbled himself even to dying on the cross. this particular statement of St. Paul in Philippians, his letter to the Philippian church, where he says that Jesus, in chapter 2, that Jesus took on poverty and he took on the form of God, but did not count equality with God, but became a servant in human form and humbled himself even to dying on the cross. And this particular statement of St. Paul's explains why the church has such a concern and identification with the poor. Jesus came down from heaven and, being God himself, humbled himself to take the limitations of human form, or better put, took on the limitations of our humanity. I've quoted these passages because I want to emphasize one thing that I think is very important. Jesus seems to say that he doesn't endorse materialism, and he seems to say that wealth, he seems to identify with the poor and underclass people, and they seem to follow him, and the disciples were tradesmen, and he himself was a carpenter and lived with few or no goods. So what are we going to say? Does Jesus want people to be poor? No, I don't think so. Jesus does not want people to be poor and suffer. He wants a world in which there is some equal distribution of wealth. I don't think he wants a lot of people in poverty. I don't think he himself endorses poverty precisely, but he seems to identify with the poor and poverty-stricken and underclass in the world during his life. He seems to identify with them and have a concern for them, and he is concerned that their situation be bettered. But nevertheless, it seems that he seems to say that wealth and materialism can be an impediment, such as when he said the rich young man to give up his possessions and he couldn't do it, or the rich man in Lazarus' parable, where the rich man ends up in suffering in hell because of his inattention to the poor man. Jesus seems to say that we should have concern and love for our less fortunate brothers and sisters, the poverty-stricken of the world. And he says the poor in spirit are blessed and the poor, because in this life they will suffer, but in the next life they will be rewarded. That's what he means by that. When he says the poor and poor in spirit are blessed, or humble and blessed, or poor are blessed, he means not that poverty is a blessing, but that these poor people will be rewarded in the next life. I think I should explain that. Two things. Number one, Jesus identifies with the poor of the world. They were attracted to him and followed him. And also he identified with them and had concern for them. He wants us to have concern with them. He doesn't want people poor. Let me emphasize that. Despite these statements, he doesn't want people in poverty. He wants equality. He wants equality of wealth and goods, most important. He does not want people to suffer in poverty, but he does seem to say that poverty can be, that riches can be an impediment, and that we should have concern and love for our less fortunate brothers and sisters in poverty. You will find this, a consideration of these thoughts, in my book, Essays in Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. You will find it in my book on page, a chapter called Another Word on Poverty in the Christian Worldview, page 105. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and this will be advertised on the Internet, and I hope you will find benefit from what I have to say here. And understand the Christian religion does not endorse poverty, doesn't want people to suffer. It wants an equal distribution of wealth, but also we Christians have concern for the poor, and the poor are attracted to our faith because we address their needs and concerns. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this, and I may talk about it again on another day with greater clarity and less rushed. Good night.